Let's wake up this beautiful morning on the tundra. Oh, God.
Refreshing.
Oh, don't breathe in that hot neon. Christ. I'm sorry.
This might have to be a shorter episode because we had to unplug the fan because it was making too much background noise.
Oh, that's
getting
right.
Very hot.
It's getting hotter by the minute, and we're right next to a computer that also has a bad battery. So, yes, let's put an end to this tomfoolery and get right down to business. How you doing, Eric?
Hey, Jamestown.
Are you going to ask me how I'm doing?
No.
My name is Matt Swedick, and I'm here with Eric Swedick, and this is Neon Tundra Episode 2.
Yeah. We did. Actually, I thought it was 3. But...
No. God damn. Episode 0, and then our official episode 1 was last time, and now this is episode 2. Get it straight!
But it's the third. Okay, it's so, episode 2.
Episode 2, and we're here to talk about a couple of games here, and we got Jamestown Plus and Skullgirls, a twofer on the PSN store.
Yep, just came out.
What are you... So we both got a chance to sit down and play through and complete Jamestown Plus. What did you think?
I think this game is rad.
Interesting.
I've never played one of these games before.
No, you haven't. And I'm kind of the shoot 'em up guy here. Mm-hmm. I am the local expert, and only I may play these games, but you expressed an interest, and I decided to allow it. So what did you think of Jamestown Plus?
I thought it was really cool. It was weird that your ship is not your hitbox, but, like, the center of your ship is the only thing that can actually take damage. So it's like, you're seeing all these waves of bullets coming in there. It's like, I'm sure I'm getting hit by something. Like, nope.
Yeah.
Like, not unless it touches you dead center.
That's pretty common in a lot of shoot-em-ups. It's like a pixel or a small, very small grouping of pixels on your ship is the actual damage spot. So that's nothing new, dummy. That's how they always are. Why don't you give me some facts? What did you think of the setting?
The setting is really cool. Betentacled Martians, loyal to the Spanish.
That's the first time I've ever heard those words together. And that was pretty cool. Yeah, it's, 1619?
Yeah.
Is the year. And it's an alternate universe where the English and the Spanish are colonizing the New World. But in this game, the New World is outer space,
and the Romans called it Mars.
And now we're on a Martian planet that also has redcoats and conquistadors fighting each other, and you're on a little spaceship shooting your way through waves and waves of robots and steampunk-esque
Sir Walter Raleigh
himself, joined by John Smith. And is Virginia Dare a real person?
I don't know. Some of these people, I don't know if they're actually, because yes, we know John Smith, but he was in the two added side stories. The Tall Tales of John Smith.
That was a nice addition. Because the core game itself has about, what, 5 missions?
Yeah, about 5 or 6.
5 missions, and then you get the 2 bonus missions that are a side story that are just John Smith. And he's cool because he's a little bit more of a lighthearted character. Sir Walter Raleigh's all brooding and angry, and he got framed for something, and he has escaped to the New World to avoid persecution. Is that historically accurate?
Yes, this is all historically
accurate. It's all historically accurate, okay. And he is our main protagonist. He's our proto-man from this entire adventure, although you can switch ships. I don't know if that actually switches out the character or not.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so like each ship has their own character. So John Smith has his ship. Virginia Dare, the Indian lady that you meet. Indian Martian lady?
Native American Martian.
Native Martian lady that you find. Yeah, they all have different ships, and they all have different mechanics, so they all play different. So your main ship has like a laser attack, the regular spread shot.
It's just your weapon special and vault.
Weapon special and vault. And what does the vault mechanic do?
So you get enough, gears. They look like golden gears, and then you collect enough of them, you fill a bar, you go into vault mode, mm-hmm. where it makes a invincible shield around your guy. And I think it powers up your attacks, too.
It does double damage.
And
once you pop your vault, it does double damage for your ship, and it also has like a multiplier for the gears that falls down.
And collecting more gears extends the vault. Now, do they call this mechanic in other shooting games? Is it like this is your vault? As like it was unanimous is like this is your shooting, this is your special, this is your vault, or is this like an ability that they just named this vault for this game?
Yeah, I've never heard the term vault before, but there's similar stuff where you build up meter and can unleash a special attack or chain together combos.
Because I just said use your just vault,
get like, the good what? Combo. It if you've ever played a cave shooter or even the Takuma or Takami shooters of like Mars Matrix and Giga Wing on the Dreamcast, it does a very similar thing where you blow up and the gold pours out of the enemies in a very similar fashion.
I think it's pronounced Giga Wing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Giga.
Giga to the RZA Wing. Mars Matrix. Those are two really good shoot 'em ups. And as we were playing through this game, I noticed a lot of callbacks to other famous shoot 'em ups. Ikaruga is heavily influenced, especially in that last level where the actual level itself is shifting shape and you have to make sure that you're positioning yourself as the screen is scrolling so you're not getting crushed or destroyed by the stage and you're not just worrying about the waves of the enemies coming in. Well designed, well made.
I liked it, and I don't think you should be scared away from playing this because it looks too hardcore, because this is fairly easy. You know, like, I think I did everything except two levels the first hour I played it, and it's definitely something that I think I spent maybe 3 hours total just replaying these levels because of the music is so good.
And you don't play shoot 'em ups?
No.
Well, can you even remember? Like, have you ever even played a shoot 'em up before this?
Pretty sure I have not.
Wow. Jesus. Okay, yeah. I've played a few. I have my Sega Saturn collection. I got my my 4-in-1 Japanese card that lets me play the imports. So I'm kind of deep into this genre.
How many cute 'em ups have you played?
I've had my fair share of cute 'em ups. I've played some Fantasy
Name
Zone.
Name five.
Fantasy Zone. Patrodius. Parodius. Otramudius. And Cotton.
Oh yeah, Cotton.
And Choaniki. Doesn't get much more cuter than that.
You sure showed me.
Moving on. Yes, as someone who is very experienced in this genre, I dug it. It offers a lot of interesting challenge, and yes, it does ease you into it because you can play the first three missions on medium, difficult, or legendary, and later in the game, to progress to the fourth and fifth levels, you have to go back. It makes you go back and replay those levels on the higher difficulties. I think the minimum difficulty to clear out the game is
legendary.
So, but by that time, the game has been introduced to you so slowly and so gradually that it doesn't feel like a huge problem by the time you get to the end. Although that last mission was pretty fucked.
Yeah, I mean, there was three occasions where I lost because of glitches in there. So there's a section where the stage itself will close in on you like a vice. And if you die to this first part of that section, the second part will not open up or close. So you're automatically losing two ships every time you lose to this one.
Yeah, I felt like when I died, it reset my plane in a bad spot. And it just got crushed again. And you said that it also crashed to...
It crashed to the cross media bar. It only happened once, and it was in the Temple of Croatoa, which is the final level of the game. And I was mashing the confirm button during like the continue screen, and it just said nope. And took me right back to the... The only thing I lost was all my ducats that I was saving.
Oh, no! And the ducats are important because that's the in-game currency that you use to buy... other ships.
New ships, new power-ups.
Parts, power-ups.
Modes.
I was able to buy Farce Mode.
Yeah, with the Farce Mode and the Espada both cost 50,000 ducats, which takes a long time to...
I probably should have bought the ship.
You should have bought the ship, but I'm glad you bought Farce Mode because I'm not going to play this again enough to get another 50,000. No. So at least I know what Farce Mode is, and I would have been really mad if I bought it.
Farce Mode. So the story to this game is told exactly the way it should for this genre. And that is, in between levels, there is a static image that scrolls and music is playing, and you get a little bit of writing at the bottom of the screen, just kind of progressing the story. And not to give away any spoilers, but in farce mode, you get the exact same thing, except it's rewritten as if it were written by a 8-year-old or like a fool. And it's supposed to be a really, really comical...
No, he has the mind of a child.
He has the mind of a child! You want foot in face?
But really, that should have been priced more appropriately. Because I don't think you understand like how long 50,000 ducats takes to get in this game.
Yeah, like beating the game from beginning to end would probably get you maybe 30.
Like around 20, maybe?
Maybe if you did it well, depending on how well you did.
It depends, I think, the difficulty and I think different multipliers. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to totally get a grasp on what equals how many ducats you get. But it takes a while. And you for that amount of ducats, you also get the Espada, which is like probably the best ship in the game.
And you had mentioned that the game crashed on you once.
It only crashed on me once, and I don't know if it was just because of that one level or if it's just something that will randomly happen, but I've had multiple problems. That was a very difficult stage, and so those things didn't help the situation.
I did have an issue now that I'm thinking about it. Because when I was playing this game, I beat the game at 7:05 last night, and then I checked, because you were on... I checked to see if you were on there, and sure enough, you were playing Jamestown, and you beat it 50 minutes later, and I was checking out the trophies, and I'm like, what? I thought you were going to give up after the first level, and you, God bless you, you beat the game. There's a leaderboard button. So I'm like, oh, well, let me check the leaderboard. Maybe I got more points than my old brother Eric. I hit leaderboard, and it immediately crashed. Because it said, like, fail to execute operation. We were closing Jamestown Plus. So I don't know what the fuck happened. Now,
they never anticipated anybody would actually look at the leaderboard.
The PlayStation 4, the system said to update your software manually?
Yeah, that's bullshit, because that always happens. That happened with Mortal Kombat X, where there's like a bug that they fixed where if you use a coin to cheat out the last boss, it'll crash.
Oh, we got to talk about that game eventually.
Eventually, but I want to wait a little while. Because I wanna
Not wait. Now!
I want to get those characters with a K. But yeah, it always says the same thing. Like, oh, you should make sure the game is updated and make sure your system is updated. Do you have any suggestions? Would you like to leave a comment? Or?
Yeah, it kept asking me, would you like to submit a report of this error? I'm like, fuck.
Suck my dick. That's my report.
Oh.
I actually like the Jamestown, but so it's not, like I said, that was the one problem I had with it. It's not a very buggy game. It's pretty short. I think I spent an hour playing it the first time, and then maybe an hour and a half the next time. But, I mean, it was on sale for $5, so this was a pretty good deal.
Wasn't it $4?
It was something. It was less than $5.
It's usually what? It's usually like $12, I think.
Yeah, I think for $12...
Which is fair.
If you're really, really into shoot-em-ups, that might be fair. But I think if you're... I think this should have been priced more like around $7 or $8, because, I mean, it's not very long. And
I think anything under 10 is ideal.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I would if I paid, anything, I would have been fine with
that. I also paid the $2 for the DLC.
Yeah, and that's just 4 ships.
It's 4 ships, so if you break it down to like 50 cents a ship, that's a hell of a deal, especially considering that I didn't really like the other ships that come with the game as much as the original ship that you get. And these all 4 of the new ships, I played, I think I unlocked 3 of the 4. Because once you buy them, you still have to unlock them.
Through ducats.
Through ducats. And I was able to unlock, before we got here, 3 of the 4 DLC ships, and they're awesome. There's a ghost ship where you can summon a ghost version of your ship, and it's just automatically shooting, and then your ship gets a sword. And if you keep pressing the special button, you can move around the ghost ship. Or you can double tap it and it restores back to you and you gain the ability to shoot again. But that's a really advanced ship to use. And it's really fun to replay the old levels with that new mechanic. There is another one where you can shoot bombs. As you get these options that over time start to float around you and you get up to 3. And as you're hitting the special button, you can launch them out at cannonballs. Or you can hold on to them and it gives you more firepower. Be a regular shot. And the third one was called Treason. It Guy Fox is piloting this ship, and his thing is cool because it's very fast. It has a nice straight laser shot, or not laser shot, but like a regular shot, but it has a missile, homing missile mechanic, where if you tap the special button, he'll shoot one homing missile. If you hold down on it and release, he'll shoot like four or five. Really cool different stuff with those new ships.
I think the Espada is probably the best ship, but you have to beat the game to unlock it. It just has a giant crystal sword on the... It's like longer than your ship. And it's just like anything it touches, it just instantly kills, for the most part. But the ship that was doing... The one that I needed to take me out, to help me in the areas I couldn't beat, was the Gunner. And that's just... You use the special button to aim a secondary laser, so you could have a like... Because you're always shooting at 12 o'clock. And so you could like... I could shoot behind me, to the left, to the right. I could angle it. And it really made like... dodging stuff while still putting points damage on the boss a lot easier.
That's what I really liked about I don't know if this is true of all the ships, but the main ship, when you're shooting the regular shot, you're moving very quickly, but if you fire the laser weapon, it does more damage, but your ship slows down. So it's kind of like a risk reward system there, so you have to know when to just use the regular shot and when to use your laser shot. I thought that was really
cool. They all have drawbacks of some kind.
I didn't spend a whole lot of time with the other ships. I thought they were fine, but none of them were as comfortable as the original ship they give you. And that's why I thought the DLC ships were a nice touch, because those did feel fun to use, and I want to go back and play the game again with those other ships. Now, for new people, it helps gradually bring you into the game by teaching you the stuff. As someone who's played a lot of shoot 'em ups, I feel like I'm going to spend a lot more time with it, because I still didn't beat the game on the Divine difficulty, which is the next highest of Legendary. And there's even an even more difficult. Once you beat everything on Divine, it unlocks Judgment.
Judgment
difficulty. So, you know, someone like me who really gets into shooters, it's still got some meat left on it, even after I've beaten the core game.
Right, but if you're not into it, then after you do beat it on Legendary, you're going to be done, because there's nothing really left to do, because the challenges are not fun, and there's not really a lot of stuff that you could buy with your ducats. But it's like I said, it's worth playing, because this is for anybody, because this is a great game. It's just like, I don't think I'm going to play it again after this.
I'm going to stick around with it a little bit. I have a big list of like 2 pages of my backlog, and there's like 60 games on there. It's kind of embarrassing and terrifying. But usually after I beat a game, I cross it off. I did not cross this game off. I feel like I'm not done with it yet. And you're right about the challenge modes. I think these challenges certainly seem challenging. And I didn't quite get into that stuff. But I think there's still a lot more potential with, you know, doing the side story on the harder difficulty and unlocking Judgment. And even just playing through and reading the farce mode is kind of nice. And there's also, I forgot to mention, the gauntlet.
Oh, yeah, I did do the gauntlet. The normal one.
The sissy gauntlet, which is just
the first three levels.
The first three levels. I think you get an achievement for doing the full gauntlet as well. And there's something called super gauntlet. Did you see that?
No, what's super gauntlet?
Okay, so if you press L1 or R1 when you select the gauntlet, you unlock super gauntlet. And the super gauntlet is all 5 levels and the side missions for John Smith, his 2-act story.
Mm-hmm.
So 7 levels in the gauntlet mode. And if you can beat that with, I think it gives you 3 credits. That's all it gives you. If you can clear out the entire thing in 3 credits, then you get an achievement for that. That seems impossible.
I mean, it's doable only if you're really, really, really good at the Temple of Croatoa. Because the Temple of Croatoa was the only thing that gave me pause.
Oh, yeah, we had kittens over that one.
And, the pirate lady level, which is the second
game. That was James, cool.
That was a really cool level, but it was also, like, those two were the only really difficult levels. But if you could get those down, like, those other ones were not really that tough.
Was it Deimos?
Phobos and Deimos.
Those are the John Smith two-act story mode. Those just 2 levels. But yeah, Deimos has like a beach setting with crab, alien crab monsters. It reminded me a lot of Metal Slug.
I tried looking up the music on YouTube, but nobody has Phobos or Deimos. I don't know if they added it for the PS4 version. Yeah, they have, because when you go through, like, it says Jamestown soundtrack, and it only has like the main game. The regular stuff. It doesn't have like the new stuff.
I looked up the soundtrack on YouTube as well, because it's a very good soundtrack. It's
pretty good, yeah.
It's magnificent. And the best, one of the best tracks in the game is the main menu screen. Like, that's really, it's this really epic sounding score that
it hits you right when you start the
game. Yeah, when you first start it up. So it gets you going for some shooting, but that's not on the YouTube. So I had to like look that up separately to find it. I don't know why it wasn't included.
I think it is on the YouTube, but I think it's called Farewell for some reason.
Oh.
Because it's the last thing you hear, but it's also the first thing that that plays when you start up.
Oh, maybe.
There's even a chiptune version of that.
Yeah, I caught that. That's really cool. And yeah, it's these guys, there's a very touching message when you complete the game under the special thanks. I'm paraphrasing here, but they say something along the lines of, you know, this is a dream of ours. We dumped in most of our savings to make this game, and we hope you enjoyed it. And you rarely get a chance to, like, think about who made these games that you play. And it's cool that these guys got to make their dream game. And they're definitely, definitely students of the shoot 'em up genre. Because I found a lot of parallels between, like, Mars Matrix and Giga Wing and Ikaruga and a lot of cave shooters like Espeluga and the Dodonpachi games. So they did their homework, and they were able to make something that wasn't a ripoff of those games, but they were able to make an homage to them. And that's very difficult for a lot of people to figure out, is when they try to make an homage, they end up just copying the thing that they want to make. And this is a brand new original shooter that is fun to play in 2015 that isn't nails hard, balls to the wall like a Radiant Silver Gun or Ikaruga.
I just love the boss names. Lady of the Lake, the Bane of Roanoke.
Nice.
What was another one? The Resplendent Brood Mother.
There's some good writing. You know, you don't expect good story.
I want to play another game in this universe, like an RPG or something.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, it would be really cool if they made, like, a movie or a comic book or something like this. Like, this is, like, an expanded universe that I could get into. Because I like it when they take historical figures and kind of have fun with them. Would you recommend?
Yeah, I would recommend. Jamestown Plus? I would, depending on the price, because it is a little short. And it would have been nice if they, like, tiered their unlocks a little bit smarter. Because it's something that's either really cheap or really expensive, and there's not a lot of stuff you could buy on there. But if they had stuff like buying soundtracks or different colors for your ships or whatever, then I think it would have given me more replay value. But yeah, I could definitely, for anything under $10, this is a great game.
That was kind of one of the things that I didn't like. Even though they give you a variety of ships and different stuff to play with, I'm really big on ship design. And I felt like the design for the ships wasn't great. At least it wasn't like aesthetically pleasing to me. It kind of looked like you were just a little guy riding a platform. And it didn't feel like I was piloting a ship. I kind of wish the design of that was a little bit sharper. But overall, I think it's a fantastic game. Even with the DLC and the original price point, I think it would come out to a grand total of like $14. Which is still cheaper than most games on PSN. I can't recommend it enough, and I think $14 is a good price for this game. All right, so moving on from Jamestown Plus, we're going to talk about another PSN game, another indie game that came out a few years ago, kind of had a small following and is now getting better coverage. Now we have Skullgirls!
Second Encore.
Second Encore. So this is like, what, the third revision?
I don't know. I played the 360 version when it first came out, and this is the first time I played it in a while.
So what did you think of that original version?
I thought it was alright. My biggest problem with it is that the inputs were really, really strict. Like, we could not get quarter circle forwards out, or we couldn't get, like, 360s, and that was the first thing I did, is I went into training mode, and it's like, yeah, everything controls very well, and it's very lenient. I was playing on the just regular PS4 D-pad, and I was not missing any of my inputs, dragon punches and whatnot, so it controls very well, and I think you said it moves faster than what you remembered it.
I remember it moving like a slug when we were playing in the 360 version, and I don't know, it's kind of like the difference between Street Fighter 2 World Warriors and Turbo. It just felt like everything was cranked up just a little bit more, and everything felt a little bit snappier.
I didn't notice that as much, but you're probably right. But this is great because we're getting all these DLC characters that weren't in the original game. So right. It was like Beowulf, Big Ban, Squiggly, Robo Fortune, and I think one mother per Fuaka.
A palette swap of another
of the main character.
Yeah,
and yeah, and it's there's a lot of nice touches in this game that's really cool. That you could hit certain buttons to choose level select, because when we're going through the level select, yeah, it's like saying, what the hell is this? Why is it saying medium punch, light punch, low kick?
Why is that associated with each level?
Why does this level have three kicks on there? And we were too scared to press it till we finished, and then we did it. And it's like, oh, because instead of cycling through the stuff, if you just remember, oh, my favorite level is medium punch and medium kick at the same time.
Yeah, you just go input right. The level you want and go straight there. That's nice.
Also, I wish more games did this. I think Killer Instinct does it, but this one actually has a in-game tutorial for every character. So if you just want to learn how to play some of these weirdos, Eliza, that was another character that we forgot, a DLC character. I went in to learn about her because when we were messing, I was like, what the hell is going on?
She's the Egyptian?
She's the Egyptian girl? Woman with right. She has a skeleton, a parasitic skeleton living inside her.
Oh, God.
And we did not discover this, but you could do a move where that skeleton jumps out and attacks.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, super gross. So that's why I was like, well, what's gross, going on? Gross. They're able to break it down and say, look, this is how you play this character. This is what this character has. And it's very straightforward and pretty simple. Although what I don't like is they lock you out of other actions when it says, like, okay, do this. And, like, down, forward, and punch to do this person's move. Like, it will not let you jump or jump back or do anything else other than what it says. And I kind of wish they didn't do that. Because Rocket League kind of also does that, too. But for the most part, it's like, I really like the training mode, the stages look really good. I like the character design and the aesthetic. There is a little bit of a problem, though, with So I only mess around with the story mode a little bit, but there's a weird bug in this game where no matter what you change the music settings to, it will default to whatever the default is during certain parts. So I'm lowering the music because it starts off really loud on my speaker setup, and then it goes into character select, and then the character select music just starts banging. Like, really, really loud. And no then way. It go back to the regular music of the stage. And then it goes down really low. And the audio mixing is rough because I can't understand what they're saying during the cutscenes because the music and sound effects is playing as way too loud. It's, like, covering over the voices. Other than that, then it's a pretty cool game.
So what do you like for the new characters? Who do you play as?
Big Band.
Who is Big Band? Tell me about Big Band.
He's just a big robot man. Like, the story mode does not really get really in-depth. It's like, okay. It's a alternative to arcade mode, and it's probably just as long. I think I played 5 matches. So Big Band is, like, created by The Lab, and I don't know, I have not messed around with the other characters, so I don't have the bigger picture of what's going on.
Is The Lab a reference to, like, when you're learning a new character and you're trying to learn new stuff and you take it to the
maybe, but there's a literal lab in this game that makes, like, Peacock, you know, that crazy robot lady.
Yeah.
She was created by the lab, and so is Big Band, and they're after to find the Skull Girl, who has the Skull Heart, and that's bad for some reason. And
wow, I didn't even know this even had this story.
I think when the game first came out, it had an arcade mode that touched on the story when you got, like, endings and such, but It goes a little bit, it's fully voice acted and it goes a little bit more into detail, but I think I don't really play these games for the story mode, so I was just curious to check out to see what it was.
So the original idea for Skullgirls was that it was supposed to be an all-female cast, and now that we have all of the characters, we have 2 male characters.
Yeah.
Do you think that, you know, betrays that original vision?
I don't really care. It's just, I just want more cool characters.
Okay. I'll accept that. And Big Band's kind of a robot man.
Yeah, he's a giant robot man.
He's an instrument.
He
is a big band.
He's a one-man band.
He's got, like, a saxophone thing sticking out his back, but he also has, like, drum plungers and a bunch of little things, like trombones. Tromboners. And he's really interesting.
I've never seen a character like that. I love this character. It's just, like, how many musical, what would you call them, these jokes, like parodies, or like it was like Don't Fret, like that, there's a name for it,
puns.
Yeah, he has like a
he's full of puns,
like Don't Fret. What was another one? he just comes up and just starts saying all this ridiculous stuff. And he even says stuff that's not puns. Like, he beats this one person, and then he just flies away and says, "Too much TV is bad for you, kid." And then just, like, and then just takes off. And it's, like, left out, so out of nowhere that I just started laughing. It's like, why is he talking like this?
And keep in mind that this is a giant dude. He's, like, three times the size of every other character with a giant trench coat.
He looks like a mixture of Juggernaut and Q from Street Fighter 3 and Marvel Street Fighter. And he is like a very slow-moving, plodding character, but his design is just so interesting.
And another character is Beowulf. He's a wrestler, kind of similar to, I guess they drew comparisons to Alex. They have a color scheme that is like Alex from Street Fighter 3.
He has John Talbain's move, you know, the werewolf where he just like zigzags throughout the thing.
And he has like a wolf theme about him, and he's like wearing a wolf's fur around him, and that's part of his costume. And yeah, he has a cool mechanic where he has a chair with him, and he can throw out the chair as an attack. But then if he throws your character his opponent onto the chair, it does more damage and he builds hype.
So he could hold certain buttons to build up hype from the crowd. He can do certain moves that will result in building up this. I think this is probably something that's in the background. But once your hype is of a certain level, then it alters a couple of his supers.
Yeah,
which they call blockbusters. And that's one of the things that I love about. They call the supers in here blockbusters. They call you knocking out another person an outtake. And it's nice. there's just a nice attention to detail.
And charm.
It's a very charming game.
Very charming game. I feel like they also improved some of the older cast as well. Like Sarah Bella was a character that I remember being very sluggish with in the Xbox 360 version. That was back when it was published by Konami, back when they published games. And now they have a different publisher now. I forget who. Do you know who it's developed by?
Lab Zero. It's hard because the people who made this game changed their name.
Really?
I think there were Autumn Games before, and then they had to change it to Lab Zero, or they were Lab Zero and they changed it to Autumn Games. So it's a little weird.
I remember hearing Lab Zero.
I think they announced that their next game is going to be an RPG, so that's going to be kind of cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I like Sarah Bella. I liked Valentine. She's kind of the ninja.
Yeah, ninja nurse.
Ninja nurse, which is a really cool aesthetic. Like, I never considered putting those two together, but there's a lot of parallels. Like, the surgical mask is her ninja mask, and she uses syringes as shurikens, and she's doing an Azuna drop with body bags. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, I like Parasol and Eliza, and it's like there's just a lot of visual panache with this game.
A lot of time and effort was put into these designs, and I had a lot of fun with it. I only played it for a little bit with you in the two player to test out some of the characters. But I did feel like the inputs were a lot easier to hit. I was doing combos. You can even can't you pick multiple characters?
It's CVS2, and where you could either have one really powerful character, three normal characters, or two somewhat more powerful characters. I love that because it's like CVS2 is my favorite fighting game ever made. So when I saw that, it's like, yes. And I've always just stick with the stupid one powerful character because it's like it's great watching. Like health bars just go down to nothing when you hit him with a spell. Especially Big Ban, because he hits pretty heavy.
And so Evo was about 2 weeks ago?
It was, if we're dating this, then yeah, it's been a couple of weeks ago.
And so Skullgirls came out recently. I want to say at the...
it was early July, because I think it was July. It was July 8th or something.
Early July. So it missed Evo this year. Do you think this game can get the popularity to be at Evo next year?
I mean, it'll probably be there as a side game, but I don't think it'll be as a...
You don't think Skullgirls will ever get, like, the following of a Marvel or a Guilty Gear?
No, because new additions to these games don't get new people into it. It's really? whatever you had before, you're going to go into it with that amount of things. So
that stinks.
I mean... I only watched one stream for this game, and it's cool to watch. I don't think I would watch any more of it, but it's something that I'm more used to watching games like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, something that's paced more like that. And this is kind of crazy, But if you don't want to learn or do all that crazy stuff, it is a very, you could play it and still feel like you're doing stuff.
Okay, good. Because I did feel like it was kind of, it wasn't complicated, but I feel like if I brought it to our usual group of, you know, fighting game friends, they might not get into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's three punches, three kicks, but a lot of the normals will chain into themselves, so if you just want to mash buttons, sometimes you'll come up with cool stuff.
Oh, good. Good, 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 good. So, yeah, Skullgirls, would you recommend it?
Yeah, I don't, yeah, there's, the only thing I would not recommend it if you wanted to get really super heavy into it, like, tournament-wise, but if you just wanted to play a fun game, then yeah, this is awesome. You should get it.
I think it is a nice fighting game to play until Street Fighter V comes out, which won't be until, like, spring of next year. There's really no other current fighting game that I'm super into right now. Even Mortal Kombat X, which we're not talking about now, but a good Mortal Kombat game.
It's probably their best Mortal Kombat
game. Probably the best. Not something that I feel like sticking with.
Well, yeah, because we were just talking about how, you know, easy it is to get into. With Mortal Kombat, you have to learn your character's combo strings because the normals in that game aren't very good. So you have to learn, okay, X, square, square, triangle. Triangle, circle, X, circle. And that's for per character. So it you have to do homework to play the game, and that's, yeah. You know, nobody wants to do that.
But we're not talking about that now, so just forget it. Just stop. Forget that we talked about that game that we were talking about.
I don't even remember what we were talking about.
Good. That might be from all the radiation from the tundra.
It's so hot in here.
And cold. Yeah, we got to turn that fan back on.
So we got to end this.
We're going to, don't worry. But first, what are we looking forward to in the future? Anything popped up on your radar recently?
Lost Dimension Boys.
A dimension of the Lost Boys.
Yes.
That's still coming. We're waiting for it. We're gonna tackle that game. That's gonna be a special episode dedicated to just that. You're covering the PS3 version. I'm covering the Vita version. So just wait. All right? Don't rush us. And we've been getting a lot of questions as to what day do we post these episodes on. And as of right now, it's whenever we can. I like to say whenever you need it, it'll be there. But yeah, as of right now, we don't have a designated day. I try to do Thursdays whenever possible. Obviously, we haven't been doing a weekly show. We shot for bi-weekly, and that didn't work out too well.
We're in irradiated Alaskan hellscape, so cut us some slack.
Yeah, what he said. And, but we're gonna try to get more stuff once we get our schedule figured out a little bit better. Until then, I bid you adieu. And, Eric, do you have anything to go out on?
Bye!
Stay fresh!